Good morning, church. What an introduction, huh? Next week, we got that speaker, the blind see, the deaf hear. But here's Jonathan. This week, you got Jonathan. The blind will hear. The deaf will speak. Okay, one person got it. Okay, never mind. All right, this morning, very quickly, I want to talk to you about a second time. I hope you're ready to receive the word, yeah? I believe God will speak to you this morning if you open your hearts and just allow the Spirit to work within you. A second time, the text is from Jonah 3:1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. See, God is a God of a second chance. Throughout the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, you read and you read and you will learn that He is really, truly a God of a second chance. And there are times in our lives where He gives us a second chance, where He makes it obvious, like, okay, I'm going to start working in your life again. I'm going to start moving in your life again. I'm going to stir up the gifts that I place in you again. I'm awakening the dreams I put in you again, a second time. God is a God of, I say God is a God of second time, but actually it's more than second time. It's second, third, fourth, fifth, 50, 100, 1,000 times. Again and again and again, He gives us many, many second chances. Amen. His grace is so great for us. So are you ready for Him to move a second time, so to speak, in your life? Yes. Amen. Many characters in the Bible thought they had failed, thought they had missed the mark, thought they had totally canceled God's plans for their life. But He moved in their life a second time. Moses, he killed a man, yet God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery into the promised land. David committed adultery and murder, yet God fully restored him. Who else? Abraham, supposed to have a son with his wife Sarah, but he had a son with his slave. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, yet God gave him a second chance. Elijah gave up, went into depression. I want to die. But God gave him a second chance. But today I want to talk to you about a prophet in the Bible who God gave a second chance. His name was Jonah, right? And the book of Jonah starts like this. Got it up there? The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. All right, so Jonah is a person who had an assignment from the Lord. Very specific assignment. It wasn't vague. It was very, very clear. You need to go to Nineveh. But he did the opposite. He didn't even say, no, I don't want to go and stay at home. He went out, he bought a ticket, and he went the opposite direction. We read this and we think, hey, Jonah, what's wrong with you? Why are you so silly? You're trying to run away from God. Why did you do that, Jonah? When we look at it, we think. But the thing is, we did not know Nineveh like how Jonah knew Nineveh. The first point, understanding Nineveh is understanding grace. God says, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Now, the people of Nineveh, they were evil, brutal people. They would gouge the eyes out of their prisoners. They would cut off the noses. They would even skin people. They would kill babies. Infanticide, they call it. Kill babies, offer human sacrifice. They were evil, they were brutal. If God asked you to go, you also wouldn't want to go. I mean, I don't have a nice nose. I broke my nose, but I still, at least, thank God I have a nose. I don't want to go there and let them remove my nose. So Jonah was angry at these people. Why of all people you want to send me to them? They do not deserve salvation. They do not deserve your word. They should die. He wanted them to be destroyed. He did not like them at all. Don't be angry when God chooses to forgive someone that you don't like. you cannot forgive. You feel this person does not deserve grace. How can? So easy, like that. This guy, cheat people, con man, do all kinds of things. Now he become Christian. Why? Everything is okay. Everything now mine. Heard this before, not? No, we cannot understand God's grace. In Luke 19, there's a story about Jesus and Zacchaeus. Second point, understanding Zacchaeus is understanding grace. Now, Zacchaeus in the Bible was a chief tax collector and he was a wealthy man. Okay? And because he was so short, he could not see Jesus. He climbed up a tree to have a look at Jesus. Jesus was walking by. And from Luke 19:5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Ravi, can you give me a bit more volume? Thanks. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And the people saw this and began to mutter. They said, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Why Jesus, the holy man, going to the sinner's house? To put this in perspective, tax collectors at that time, they worked for the Romans. Okay? It's like, who here watched the movie Ip Man? Watch it not? Oh, only my wife. Pray for them. All of you won't watch movies or sinners. You watch Ip Man, you see this Chinese guy, very well dressed, very rich, because he worked for the Japanese against his own Chinese. He's Chinese, but he worked for the Japanese people. Same thing with Zacchaeus. He's a Jew, but he went and worked for the Romans, oppressing his own people. The tax collectors went around and they took more than what was expected to take so that they will have money in their pocket. They charge you more, the extra goes in their pocket. That's why he was a rich man. So the people hated these Jews. You are the worst type of people. You know, you work against us. So they hated Zacchaeus. But Jesus comes along and Jesus gives Zacchaeus a second chance. Amen. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, this is in his house, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. It's time to ask the Lord for a second chance for your loved ones again. Maybe they experienced the Lord a long time ago. A long time ago, at one point in their life, they experienced God. But like Zacchaeus, they took another path. They chose another way. They make wrong decisions. Well, God is a God of the second chance. Pray them in. One encounter with God is enough to change the entire direction of their lives. People did not think Zacchaeus deserved Jesus. They said Jesus went to the sinner's house. Jonah did not think Nineveh deserved salvation. Why does God want to save them? They don't deserve his money. Let them be destroyed. Isn't it good news that God is not affected by people's opinion of us? Amen. We are limited in our mindset, in our forgiving of people. We reach a limit. No, this guy is bad. This guy is... We have our reservations, so to speak, on people coming to the Lord. We have the gift of suspicion. This guy really, really Christian? Suspect, question mark. We got this kind of preconceived ideas. A long time ago, I had this good friend. I was only 19, 20 at the time. And I was working with him. And he would make fun of Christians. Every day we go sit down in the shop, have makan. He will make fun of me. He knows I'm a pastor's son, make fun of my father. So, hey, one day I so can be like your father. I just start my own religion. Oh, God come from the cloud. What? Then everybody will follow me. He'd make fun of me, mocking me, making fun of me. And then guess what? A few years later, he got saved. He got saved. And we're sitting in the shop. He just got saved like 1 week ago. He's still smoking. He's sitting in... And he's having his cigarette looking at me. Then he said, "You don't believe I'm a Christian, isn't it?" I just laughed. I never say anything. He said, "I can see it in your eyes." Cut the long story short, this guy not only got saved, he became our church board member. He led our missions in our church. I even went into business with him. We were business partners. So do not have preconceived ideas. Amen. How great is the Lord's kindness and mercy. I couldn't accept how come one guy, one day making fun of church, making fun of my dad, making fun of me, suddenly become on fire for God. God can turn people's lives around. Amen. That is the greatness of His grace. Amen. One day Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house. His name was Simon. And it was dinner. While he was there, the word says, a sinful woman came in. Sinful woman means she was a prostitute. And she went to Jesus' feet and she began to weep and her tears fell on his feet and she brought the alabaster jar, which was a perfume, expensive. And she broke it at his feet and began to wash Jesus' feet. The Pharisee said, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. They didn't invite Jesus there to hang out with him, listen to him. No, they actually invited Jesus there to hantam him. They want to gasa him, find something wrong with him. That's why Jesus said, when I came in here, you did not wash my feet, you didn't do anything. Let's go into that. And did I talk about that? I went ahead of myself. Okay, never mind. So Jesus tells Simon the story in Luke 7. He says, Simon, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when both had nothing to which to repay, they could not repay their debts. And he freely forgave them both. Tell me which one of them will love him more. Simon the Pharisee said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have judged rightly. You have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman. He's looking at the woman, but he's talking to Simon. Indirectly, he's giving Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. What Jesus was saying is, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. He who has been forgiven little, loves little only. The more we have been forgiven for, the more grace that has been poured over our life, the more we should love Him. All of us have been forgiven much. Amen. All of us have been forgiven much. One day I had a bad day. Okay, I was angry and I let the flesh win. The devil was strong that day. I gave in to my flesh, angry. And I was feeling really bad, mad at myself. What's wrong with you? Well, you preach, but then you got all this thing inside of you. How can you like that? And I go to God. I open the Word of God to seek God. And I open it and it's this verse. In Isaiah 55 verse 6. Have it up there, I can show. 55 verse 6, thank you. Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously. Amen. I thought, how come? God, how come you forgive me just like that? I also cannot forgive myself. I hold myself to a higher standard. I didn't like myself at the time. I find it hard to forgive myself. Then I read the next verse. It goes on, verse 8. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your thoughts. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Amen. We heard this scripture quoted many times and we think about my ways are higher means my plans for your life is higher and all that is true. But when you look at the whole context of it, he's talking about forgiveness. My forgiveness is higher than yours. My thoughts are nothing compared to yours. You think this person cannot be saved, does not deserve mercy or can never change? God says, my ways are higher. My thoughts are higher. He will forgive generously. Amen. Amen. His desires that none should perish. Amen. So back to Jonah again. He did not want to go to Nineveh. We know the story, because he thought they don't deserve mercy, right? He gets on a ship, and cut the long story short, they throw him, there's a violent storm, and he says it's because of me, and they throw him into the waters, and the water immediately come down. It did not gradually come down, immediately come down, and then God sent a large fish to swallow him up. And then Jonah cried out to the Lord. In chapter 2, it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You sank me into the deep oceans. I sank down into the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. I won't go through the whole prayer. I go straight to verse 10. It says, then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. So, some study says Jonah was actually alive. Some study says actually he died. As a child, I watched Pinocchio. Who watched Pinocchio? Disneyland, right? The Disney Pinocchio. And you see Geppetto and Pinocchio sitting in the whale, fishing, sitting there. All the while, I thought Jonah also was like that. The cartoon, sitting there, oh God, help me, and all that. But when you read the word and you try to understand the word, it actually, he died lah. Jonah died. Because Jesus also talks about this in Matthew 12, 38. He says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Jesus answered them, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign. But none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah, which was, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You can see that. Jesus explains it very clearly. 3 days, three nights, Jonah, you all saw that before? 3 days, three nights, me. This will happen. The difference is Jesus rose from the dead and is still alive. Jonah died probably later of old age or something. We don't know. It's not written. So which one you want to believe, whether he died or he did not die, up to you. It doesn't matter. It's okay. This part of the message has nothing to do with the main message. It's free of charge. I just thought it's interesting. The most important thing is you got to know Jesus died and he rose from the dead. All right? And he's still alive. Don't worry, Jonah, alive or dead. Next time you can ask him. So, let's move on. Chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Say a second time. A second time. And he says what? Get up and go. The exact same message, the same call, the same gift, the same anointing was over Jonah's life. Although he deliberately disobeyed, although he died, although he failed, God totally reinstated him as a prophet. He didn't say, okay, I raise you from the dead, enough, go, I get somebody else to do it. He reinstated his call on Jonah's life. A second time, so to speak. God restored Jonah to his call and his purpose. We live in a cancel generation. This guy said something, he's been cancelled. That guy said something, we've been cancelled. We cancelled so easily. This guy cancelled already. Oh, not relevant. Out, cancelled. Thank God he does not cancel us. Amen. He restores us. The scripture says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable without repentance. Don't think it's too late for me. I failed too many times. I still haven't made it. God must have given up on me. My best days are behind. I did not use my younger days for His glory. No, it is not over. Don't try to understand. You cannot understand. It's because He already said, my ways are higher. It's nothing like what you can think. Romans 11, 29. That's how I said, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Amen. That means once He calls you, the calling is always there. Once the gift is given to you, the gift is always there. Just that sometimes the gift is laying dormant. That's why the word says, stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. You know the story of Samson. Samson, the mighty man in the Bible. What happened to Samson? Samson had to grow up as a Nazarite. Nazarite means couldn't cut his hair, cannot drink alcohol, cannot touch dead things, and you must marry somebody from your tribe. Samson breaks all the laws. everything one by one. First, he drinks, and then he touched the carcass, and then later, finally, the hair gets cut. Little by little, he compromised. God's presence was still with him, right up to the very end. And the Philistines, after he told Delilah, okay, the secret is my hair, she cut his hair. The Philistines grab him, make him prisoner, gouge his eyes, and then they take him on to parade in front of everybody. Look at their mighty warrior. This guy killed thousands of us. Now we got him. He's a nothing. Making fun of him, he says, put me between two pillars. And then he prays. And God sends him the strength a second time. A second time. And the word says he killed more Philistines that day than all his mighty conquests. I'm one of those guys who needs many, many second times. Who here needs many, many second times? Yeah. Good news for you. Because he loves using ordinary people like us. He loves using flawed people. We're not born into privileged people. We're not super intelligent people or super talented people. Ordinary people. He loves using people like us. So if you need many second times, good news. Good news. Let's just choose to put him first. Choose to obey. He's so good and he's here for you for your second time. Amen. His gifts and callings are irrevocable. Irrevocable. Let's cultivate the gifts again. If your gift is teaching the word, throw yourself into studying the scriptures. Learn more. And when you explain, suddenly you got people can understand. So easy to understand when you explain. That is a gift. Amen. If you have a gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you have the gift of tongues, speak in tongues. If you can preach, preach. If you can counsel, counsel. You can encourage, be an encourager. If you can sing, sing. Sing a little louder, kid said. If you cannot sing, never mind. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If can, don't sing so loud, but make a joyful noise. Develop the gifts that have been laying dormant because his gift and his call is without repentance. It is irrevocable. If your gift is entrepreneurship, do it. Go all out. Use your gifts to bring him the glory. He gets the glory. If you are good and bringing people to church, do it. Cultivate it. Do it. If you love to pray, you got a gift of intercession. Intercede. Give yourself to the gifts that God has called you. A second time. One more time. Bring it forth. So Jonah goes to Nineveh again. And he goes there and he walks about and he tells them, in 40 days, God is going to destroy this city. The word says he takes 2 full days to walk the whole city. It's a big city. He says God is going to wipe out every one of you. That's all he says. And then the king makes a decree. Everybody repent, including the animals. Fast and pray. Put ashes. All of you. Everybody. Animals also cannot eat. Fast and pray. And then Jonah gets so angry. God says, look at them. They repented. I forgive them. I'm not going to destroy them. Jonah gets so mad. He lets his flesh win. He tells God, I knew you're going to do this. I know you are slow to anger. I know you're so generous. I knew you're going to forgive them. That's why I didn't want to go. He rants out. He let his flesh win. He gets angry. Again, God gives Jonah another second chance. Jonah sitting there, God doesn't scold him. God caused a plant to grow over him and give him shade. Cool down. See how good God is, isn't it? Sound like cartoon, this story, but it's true. It's a real story. And he is good to you today. He's not scolding you. Are you going to respond to his second chance? Are you going to make a decision like the people of Nineveh? I will quickly repent, quickly grab the second chance that you are handing out to me. Or are we going to ignore it? They grab the second chance. God hands you a second chance, grab it while you can. The word says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. That means there's going to come a time when you cannot find him. There's going to come a time when you're going to call on him and he's not even near. So seek him while he is near. Call on him while he is near. Amen. It's time to respond to his second chance. Okay, I'm going to conclude. Musicians can come. Just conclude the whole thing. Let's go through. We talk about Nineveh. So Nineveh represents the people on the outskirts. The people who are the outcasts, the unreachable, God has hope for them. Gave them a second chance. Talk about Jonah, the servant of God, the believer who walks with God. He also needed a second chance. God gave him a second chance. Talk about Zacchaeus, the child of God. He too was a son of Abraham, but chose the wrong things. Went out into the world. Salvation has come to his house. Talk about Samson, who's anointed, strength, mighty exploits, but disobeyed, sinned against God, compromised in his life, asked God for a second chance, and God gave him a second chance. Now, I don't know who you can relate to this morning. The truth is, all of us need a second chance with God. All of us need a second chance with God. So are you going to trust Him again for the second chance? Are you going to fan His fire into flame again one more time? The gifts that He has placed in your heart, the dreams, the desires that you know God has put in your life, that you have allowed to lay dormant. Amen. Maybe you need to love more. Maybe you need to come back to Him again. Like Samson, like Jonah, like Zacchaeus. He is a good God, and He is the God of the second chance. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.